Well, good morning, Lighthouse.
Good morning.
You come to worship the Lord this morning?
Hey.
All right. Well, come into His presence. Click and send Harley. Day. Yeah. I want to give real attention real quick. If you have all the moms, please stand. All the moms, please stand. Thank you, everyone. Glenn, sit down. Well, to all the moms here, we just want to say Happy Mother's Day. We're glad to have you here. There's no better place to be in God's house to celebrate this. Amen. All right, you all maybe have a seat. Come into His presence that we sing. It's coming straight from Psalms 100. So I want to give attention to this quick chapter real quick. It's short, just only five verses. Psalm 100 is all about a psalm of praise. Is that not what we're here to do, to give the Lord right now? Amen? Praise. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And not just do that, but when you're singing to Him, know ye that the Lord, He is our God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgivings, be into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Yeah. More and more and more, we see that this world is trying to push out the Word of God. But still to this day, the Word of God still reigns. The Word of God still is supreme. And I'm going to tell you, at Lighthouse Baptist Church, it's always going to be this way. The Word of God is our truth, and it is why we do what we do. Amen. We're here to bring Him praise. We're here to bring Him honor and glory. Come to His presence with singing. Can you really do that if you kind of just sit back and just listen to the song, read the lyrics? No, the Bible, the Lord wants you to sing to Him. Now, it says make a joyful noise. Now, some people have the reasons like, well, I'm not a good singer. That's okay. You can still sing the Lord, give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him praise without having the greatest melody pitch or vocals. Eventually, hey, it'll take work. If you actually listen to some Christian artists back in the past, their voices didn't sound that great either. But through effort, through work, they actually could make a good voice to the Lord. So I would say, just even if you feel like you're not a good singer, sing to the Lord. Amen. It's really good to see some of you back here this morning. Miss Mary, we have missed you so much. And welcome back. Amen. She's all recovered and feeling good to be in God's house. And so it's at this time, you know, we take a little pause in our service, and we want to take a reflection of our own hearts. If we're going to be coming to the Lord's presence, give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him praise, I want to be able to do so with a clean heart and renewed spirit, the Bible also uses in Psalm 51. The way we do that, though, is not so much that, well, I lived such a good week, I didn't do much wrong, I just did so good this week, I didn't really sin all that much. No, it's not how it works. The Bible lays it out in 1 John 1:9, is that how we can actually worship God with a clean heart, how we can remain and walk in fellowship with Him. It's in that phrase, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise given to believers, not a how to be saved passage, but to those who are believers and are walking in light. If you would just simply confess, homologeo, get on the same page with God, recognize your sin is what put Christ on the cross in the first place, and only He can restore you. then at that promise, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Meaning he gives you an absolute fresh start, which I would say I need on a daily basis. So I want to invite you to please pray with us as we continue our service, as we give him worship and give him glory. So Father, we thank you, Lord, and you know, just thank you so much for the day that we get to kind of recognize and take attention to with all the wonderful women, you know, that you even put in my own personal life and all the moms out here recognizing, you know, their position is a God-gifted one, Lord, and not taken so lightly and to be held in lowest regard, but it's to be held in the highest honor and highest regard, just as you even lay out in your word about, you know, the virtuous woman and those who, you know, guide and manage and lead their families. So, Father, we just thank you for this time we get to have in your house. And thank you, Lord, of who we're coming to worship, Lord, as we just read the scripture, know that he is our God. You know, we're not worshiping just some dead figure or just some morally good teacher, Lord, but we are worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the name that has been given to given above all names out there. And so in light of that, Lord, it should humble us and give us our absolute reasonable response of worship and, you know, complete adoration and praise of you. So, Lord, thank you for our time and thank you for the cross and all the means we have to have worship, Lord. Thank you, and just may you continue reigning, you know, in this house, Lord, and reign in our own hearts as well. It's in Christ and we pray. Amen. So I'll stand and continue worshiping the Lord this morning. For you at Lighthouse this morning, and I think this is one that's really fitting, you know, for Mother's Day, because, you know, as a parent, you know, you look at your children and you just want the Lord's blessing just to take care of their life and just lead them on the way. And one of the most difficult things of being as a dad, you know, is leaving your kids to the Lord, is praying for your kids and just entrusting them with that. So the song's called The Blessing.
Lord bless you.
I'm going to change the key real quick. Sorry, guys.
family, your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
Second grade and under, I'm going to invite you guys. We're going to stay out here in light of Mother's Day, and same thing with third through sixth. So, special service today.
Good morning, Lighthouse. There's Dusty. How you doing, man? Mother's Day. Second Sunday of May every year. We've got to especially want to welcome all you moms today. Yeah? Yeah? Mother's Day began in America when a lady named Anna Jarvis, who had no children herself, organized a memorial service to honor her mother who had just passed away. That day was the second Sunday of May in 1905. The idea caught on and became so popular that it was declared a national holiday in 1914. And she became upset later because it got so commercialized. Well, compared to things like Christmas and all that, it's not so bad. So I'm good with it. So universal is the recognition of the contribution of motherhood that virtually every country in the world also has a celebrated Mother's Day. I guess there's an exception somewhere, but I don't know where it is. Most are celebrated on the same date as those as we do here in America, but there are a few variations. Mother's Day is not a biblical holiday. Its purpose, however, to honor motherhood and mothers, is one that's clearly promoted in Scripture. Although not so much today, historically, the mothers most honored have been the ones who have borne large numbers of children. My mother always won the prize when the preacher asked, how many of you have more than five kids? And then more than six, and then more than seven, and she always won, every time. I'm the youngest of 12. Studies, scientific studies, have long agreed that although you may get more genetic influence from your father, it's the mothers who have the far greater influence over the character and traits that are developed in our children's lives, most of those being pretty well accomplished by about age seven. I guess that's why teenagers are famous for what they're famous for. But science has never discovered anything that God didn't already know. He is the original scientist. God has always laid much responsibility for the character formation of children at the feet of the mothers. There are 30 instances in the Old Testament where we are given the names and track record of various leaders in Israel, mostly kings, and then we are given the names of their mothers, implying that partial responsibility for the outcome of their lives was laid at the feet of the mom. Matter of fact, in one particular instance, God flatly tells us so. In 2 Chronicles 22, verse 2, it says, 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And then it says later that he reigned longer than that. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Can you imagine that? God, of course, always tells it like it is. He never softens any blows. He always tells us the truth, and he doesn't pull any punches. Two out of three of those that he tells us about were evil. In the Bible, there were good mothers and there were evil ones. It's just like the world today. There are more evil ones than there are good ones. And we could talk about abortion and all kinds of things that mothers do that are just unthinkable, but they do it anyway. We're not going to do that today. There were good ones and there were evil ones, but there were no perfect mothers in the Bible. And there are no perfect mothers here at Lighthouse. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke of herself as a sinner in need of a Savior. Now I realize different religions classify that differently, but they're just not reading their Bible. Mary was a sinner in need of a Savior, just like you ladies that are here today. Just like you. Luke 1:46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." The only people who need a Savior are sinners. Nobody else needs one. After all, what kind of a mother leaves her kid at church and drives off and doesn't miss him for a day? Already gone a full day's journey away after leaving her kid behind. That happened to Jesus when he was 12. Mary and Joseph actually pulled this one off for a full day's journey before having to come back to get him. And yes, I know that some of you have pulled the very same trick. Maybe you didn't go for a whole day, but yes, you've done it. Left that little one on the seat and he's asleep and you got to beating your gums with your friends and drove off without him. Now don't look down on the rest. It could still happen to you. Even in the very first family, we have three sons. Cain, Abel, and Seth. I suppose they had more after that. The Bible doesn't tell us who they were. Same mother, same father, and we can assume at least a very similar upbringing. Yet the outcome was two godly men and a murderer. So, ladies, there's just no guarantees. But two out of three is better than it could otherwise be. It's Mother's Day, and I had a very difficult time figuring out what I was going to speak to you about today. I mean, after all, how many times can I preach from Proverbs 31? Can any of you really relate to the Virgin Mary? I mean, that's a bit of a stretch. We could talk about Naomi from the book of Ruth, who's no doubt the godliest mother-in-law mentioned in the Bible. One of the most notable mothers in the Bible, there's one that was not typical in many ways, but the things that made her notable were very special. Her name is Hannah. You remember reading about Hannah? 1 Samuel. She was the mother of the prophet Samuel, one of the truly great servants of God recorded in Scripture. Now, unlike many great leaders who attribute so much of their success, like many of the presidents of our country have done, they attribute much of their success to the influence of their mother. Samuel's mother wasn't even present for most of his upbringing. She weaned him from the breast, and then after that, she brought him to the temple to be the servant of God there in God's house forever. What do you want your children to be when they grow up? We attended a graduation ceremony. It wasn't a graduation, but it was an awards ceremony this last week. We have two special grandchildren that are about to graduate. It was all about serving your community and serving each other and being a good citizen. Not one mention about serving God. The world doesn't care about serving God anymore. Your children are going to care about serving God. It's probably going to be up to the moms that are present in this service today. It's going to take your influence to get this done. Samuel's life did have a lot of influence from his mother. We're going to read her story today. We're going to read a lot of Scripture, so you're just going to have to pay attention. You can look down at your Bible or you can look up the screen. We're going to put it up there too. Her story is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It begins with her. It's 28 verses. It says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramah." I did have this pronunciation worked out. Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. And we're not going to get into that today either, by the way, fellas. We're going to leave that alone. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And I wasn't going to preach about this, but I will stop here and make a note. There was a day that the most wonderful thing that could happen to a woman was to have children. God still hasn't changed his mind about that. I know that many women in our country and certainly throughout the world don't feel that way about it anymore. But that's sad. It says in verse 7, as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She told the Lord if he would give her a son, she would dedicate that boy to him. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. You ever pray like that sometimes? But her voice was not heard, therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then will I bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good. Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry thou until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. We're going to continue reading in chapter 2 for 11 verses. Samuel, if you've read 1 and 2 Samuel, you know that he was one of the great ones. Samuel was a servant of the Lord like few others have ever been. He was a gift from the Lord to Hannah, and Hannah loaned him back. Chapter 2, the first 11 verses are dedicated by Hannah to the Lord. Now, I'm going to do you a favor, ladies. I'm going to give you a heads up about what I'm about to do. In years past, I have given our children and husbands an opportunity to share special things in particular that they appreciate about our moms that are present here today. We're not going to do that this year. Instead, we're going to give our moms an opportunity like God gave Hannah here in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Here in this book, to share the special things in particular that you appreciate about the Lord. About what kind of faithfulness the Lord has performed in your life and what it's meant to you. So first, we're going to read the example, and this is the opportunity penned in the Word of God that God gave Hannah. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. She said, There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich, he bringeth low, he lifteth up. He raised up the poor out of the dust, and life lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall see thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli, the priest. Now, ladies, I don't expect you to be as eloquent as Hannah, but if I can get a couple of men to volunteer. And let's see, who needs to be? Alvin, come on, you can do it. You don't get many jobs around here. And let's see. Joey, why don't you come on up here to help me out? Might keep you out of trouble. Take one of these microphones, each of you. Make sure it's turned on and working. And ladies, when you're willing to speak, just raise your hand and I'll call on you. This is for you moms. Don't everybody jump up at once. Right here. Alvin, right in front of you. It's not working. Fix it first. Turn the mute button off and it'll work.
Hi there. I'm Ginger Valentino, and I've been blessed with lots of children that are just wonderful. I praise God that they all do love me. I know that, even the ones that don't talk to me very often.
Amen.
It's a blessing. And I always love to see little children, the babies and the children. They just make your heart glad when you look at them. They give you a smile. I love the Lord, and I know He loves me. Amen.
Amen. Make sure these mics are cranked up, guys. All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Kendall. I have two children right now. I have one boy and one girl. But they are currently not with me. But I do know that God has blessed me and found me in very big favor because He blessed me with these two children that are amazing. They're smart. They're gorgeous. They're healthy. They're happy. And I got to thank God for that.
Amen. I know the Lord's leading in your life. We can see that. All of us can. Just keep following. Who else?
Hi, my name is Mary. I just want to give praise and glory to God Almighty. He's awesome. He's sweet. He's kind. He's beautiful. He's just so wonderful. I went through surgery a couple of weeks ago, and I tell you, God was with me. He's always with me, and He takes good care of me. He has given me four children, and they're so wonderful. They're very helpful and kind. And I just want to tell you, mothers out there, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. I want to tell you something I put on my phone to all my children this month. Psalm 100, you read it. Do not just say it, read it. And now today when I walk in here, what I heard on it, Justin was talking about Psalm 100. I was just telling Glenda, that's what I put on my phone about Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Oh my God. Praise Him, people. He's a lover. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Who's next? Joey, you're not having much response over here. There you go. Okay, Alan, get back over there. This is Joey's side.
I get nervous, but this is all to glorify the Lord. Can y'all hear me? I didn't grow up in a godly home. They are still atheists till this day. I never had a motherly figure raising me. My dad left when I was 12. I became a meth addict living on the streets, and I found God in a very dark time in that hotel room. And He took me out of my addiction 6.5 years ago, and I started having an eager heart to seek the Lord. And when I did, He started opening doors and putting godly people in my life. And He brought me to this church. And before this, I had to go through other churches where I was sprinkled Methodist and, you know, all different denominations to find the truth and what works in my life. And he saw my desire, and He led me here. And this is where I got saved August 3rd of a year ago. And a scripture that is so dear to my heart, you know, because I still to this day don't have a motherly figure in my life, you know, emotionally. And Titus chapter 2, I don't remember the exact scripture, but it says the elder women of the church. And I don't think that just means elderly in age. It means elderly spiritual. They teach the younger how to love their kids and their husbands. And that's dear to me. And God has placed those women in my life because Without that, I wouldn't know how to be a wife and a mom. And I can do that today. And that's what I can say that the Lord's done in my life. And also, I used to deal with rage, anger. And I think truly mourning over that anger, God has stripped it from me. And that was a stronghold in my life to where I put it on my child. And I don't do that today. And I'm very grateful for that. I can be a godly mom today, the best that I know how. And I still fail, but I have that desire in me, and I'm grateful for this church and you guys. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kitty. I have three. Oh,
I'm sorry.
My name is Kitty. My husband and I actually go to another church, but he is out of town working today. So I came with my friend Amanda, and just to celebrate Mother's Day with you guys. So, just quickly, the Lord delivered me from addiction 10 years ago. I didn't think I would be able to have kids because of the mistakes I had made before I knew the Lord. And He has blessed me with three little girls, and every day just gives me the grace to raise them in Him, and I'm so grateful for that.
So, as most of you know, Josh and I have been here about 5 years now. 5 years ago, we would have never been in this position. If he wouldn't have walked through those doors and drugged me here, my life would have never changed. And my kids would not be growing up the right way. They'd still be lost as we were. So, it's taken a lot for us to make the changes, and once we took them and God started talking, things started changing, mountains started moving, and our lives changed, and our kids are blessed to be growing up with the church family that they have, and for us to have changed to be able to parent them correctly, to love them, to show them what it's like to walk with God every day. And now Lane wants to be a pastor when he grows up, so but just knowing that God made those changes for us, and He sacrificed so many things for us so long ago, all we can do is give Him all the love and the praise that He deserves and live in His Word the best that we can, and know that, especially as moms, we're going to fail. But that's expected, and we learn from it, and we keep going, and we help as many other moms as we can along the way, and we just spread the word to everybody and do like we're supposed to do, and love one another and love our children and help everybody else along the way. So if it wasn't for us coming here and Josh dragging me in here all those years ago, our lives would have never changed the way that they have. So I just thank God for that every single day.
Hi, my name is Vicky. I've been here for almost 10 years. I have three sons. God has blessed me. And I don't know why the Army lies and says it's the hardest job you'll ever love, because it's not. It's motherhood. I was raised in a family with all girls. My dad was the only boy, and I created a family where I was the only girl. I didn't know anything about boys, but God kept blessing me with them, so I had to learn. One of the things that I had to learn that was the hardest lesson, and it's still hard for me today, is unconditional love. I've had a son in prison for 7 years. He's out now. But those 7 years, I had to continue loving him. I've seen my boys make all kinds of bad choices. I have three grandchildren that are what my father would call illegitimate, because my sons were not married. And I love my children. I love them no matter what. I told my children one time, a long time ago, if you killed me, I would die loving you. And I would, because that's the way that Jesus loves me. He loves me in spite of my mistakes. And He loves me no matter how wrong I may be, even though I think I'm right. And I just thank you. I thank Him for that, because in knowing that about Him, it has helped me to love my children completely, no matter what they do. And I thank you, Lord.
Amen. I over here, Joey.
Hello, I'm Clarissa. I've been here for a while. God has blessed me so much, even though I don't deserve it. I have three wonderful children, and my mother is here today. Praise the Lord. She's saved and going through some trials, but she's going to face them, and we're not afraid. So I am there in Scripture. It says there's no greater joy than to hear that your children. I'm going to read it exactly so I don't mess that. But 3 John 1:4, no, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that is so true, and I'm just so blessed by my children and my daughter, who's wanting to do ministry now, serving God with all of her heart. And all of my kids have a desire to serve God with all of their heart, and there's no greater joy than that. But I have to say that I want to take this time to thank the Lord for what He's done for me personally, because I remember who I was. I was lost, and I was blind. And there's that song that we sang back, Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood, that says, I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Oh, man. But He made a way, and I just want to thank God that He made a way for me. I want to thank Him for the blood. I want to thank Him for loving me and for showing me how, through His word, to be a good mom, to be a good friend, to be a good daughter, to be a good example. You know, that even though I fail, I still have the instructions on how to do it, and I have something I can fall back on. So I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for that.
Amen. Right here, Joey.
We've been here since 1999.
Closer. Put the mic close. Your voice is soft. They won't hear you.
Since 1999. And I'm going to start talking real fast so I don't start bawling. I know a lot more now about God than I did in the early 90s. I got saved in 1987 at the age of 33. I wasn't a substance abuser. I wasn't running around like a crazy woman, but I definitely bought into Gloria Steinem and all the other women, because my mom had left when I was 13 and my dad didn't mother me. So I bought into I'm strong and I'm tough and I can do whatever I want and I can make all my choices and I don't have to answer anything. And so that's something I have to temper even now. But what I wanted to say is that when my husband and I married, we were a blended. We blended of two families. Okay, he had four boys. I had a boy and a girl, and there were a lot of eye-opening situations with that. Even though my family left a legacy of divorce, like generations, and so to me that wasn't one big deal, but now it is. But anyway, as we blended and as we learned more, I learned. Well, one thing that helped one of my bonus children, they're all my children now, but my bonus children was the step-parent thing because of Disney, you know, being evil. And I got to show him in the Bible where Jesus' stepdad is Joseph, but God never uses that term in the Bible. And God refers to them as his parents when they go back to get him from the temple. I'm their parent. They have two moms, but I'm their parent. And I took that really seriously the more I learned about God. And one other thing I learned was that you don't have to take the love away you have for another person to start loving another person, because God doesn't divide it. He keeps multiplying it. So one heart can love all of my kids, all of my church kids, all of my whatever kids. We have a huge family now with all of the kids. And he just gives you that love. And that's amazing that it just multiplies like that.
Yeah. Still had some left over for me. So. Yeah. All the way back here. Here you go, Al.
Hi, I'm Sherry, and last year my mother passed away literally on Mother's Day, so this is a tough year, you know, to celebrate Mother's Day today for me, because last year my husband was in the hospital for 5 months, you know, he survived a massive stroke, and this is got him out of the hospital. He got to take him home. 3 weeks later, my mother died. So, I just really miss her today. And I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Well, you probably want to go eat some lunch before the day is over. Ladies, I want to leave you with one thing we learned from Hannah. Hannah had no promise from the Lord that we know of to grant the prayer that she asked of the Lord. I mean, we have promises in the Bible, and the Lord keeps every one of them. But Hannah, such was her heart toward the Lord, that God did grant her request. It wasn't because of a promise he made. It was because of the heart that Hannah had toward him. You know, 1 John tells us that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Those New Testament commandments of the Lord, starting with baptism in your church and serving the Lord and worshiping Him faithfully. New Testament commands. Jesus, that's what Jesus told us to do as a church, to go therefore and teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And Hannah didn't have a specific promise from God that we know about, or at least that we're told here. But she loved the Lord. And she was willing to do anything to prove it. She loved the Lord. And God gave us Samuel. Samuel is the one that chose the first king, or that anointed the first king that God chose, Saul. And then he's the one that anointed David. And what do we have? All right, one more. I didn't figure we were going to get by without getting to Paula back here. Did you already put the microphone away? All right. Dig it out.
My name is Paula, and I've been at this church for over 20 years now, I think. But I came... to this church after Miss Lisa had tried to get me here.
10 years I invited her.
Then I lost my only child. It's been 23 years now. God has brought me to this church to help me have a family here, because my family's up in Illinois. Anyway, there are so many people in this church that I consider my children. God has given me even younger children that have came from being very scared of me, to where now they come up and hug me as soon as they see me. And I just have to thank God for each and every one of you that have become part of my heart, as God is. And I have sisters and brothers here too that I love dearly, and they was given to me by God also. Lord, we love you, each and every one of us. I know you do. You love the Lord. Let's help our family grow in love of God.
Well, we are a Baptist church, so it's time to take up an offering. Oh, yeah. It's not time to take an offering. Let's see. Teenagers, come up here. If you're in the youth department or if you want to help out, come on up. Kids, there's a couple coming from this side. Here, Caleb, take those. Somebody put those in there really well. Here, let me take this batch right here. Joey, take those. There you go, Lexi. There's a bunch for you. And Kaylin for you, and Lane for you. Make sure every mom in here, here we go, take those two. Here we go, take those. Make sure every mom in here gets one. Miss anybody?
Don't forget the nursery.
All right, if you have leftovers, well, Christine, I don't know where your kids went, but they headed through the back, so we'll see. If you've got leftovers, give your own mom an extra one and make sure that all the future moms have one as well. There we go. Calista, this lovely lady in the red right here needs a rose. Did she get one already? Okay. I'm just making sure. No, it's not for me. Go give your mom another one. There you go. Give them all away. They're not going to do anybody any good sitting up here in this water. There are four. See, 1, 2, 3, 4 families that have recently decided, made the decision to homeschool their children because they're not going to give them to the world.
Amen.
That's a lot of work. It's no lightweight operation. It's a lot of work. And guess whose shoulders it's going to fall on? You guessed it, Mom. That's the way it always works. Thank you for loving your children. And I want to encourage you every way I can. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed here in a moment.
Jesus.